Blog Talk Radio.
Refugee camp, conspiracy theory, why? Yeah, why? You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. You be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much. And long last love has arrived. And I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. Caught in the way that I stand. There's nothing else to compare. The sight of you leaves me weak. There are no words that you speak. But if you feel like I feel, please let me know that it's real. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm going to get Brother Adonai's mic open. I just want to know, shalom, Brother Adonai, is there anything going on today, any current events?
Any current events today?
Yeah, I mean, yesterday, today, or anything. I mean, because I haven't seen anything but the same old stuff, you know.
Yes, well, that's the problem. It's same old, you know. Ain't nothing changed. They just trying to, President Biden has set up a committee to investigate the insurrection, what happened then, and how it all transpired, you understand? And so the Republicans, they don't want to send nobody to be a part of the committee. And if they send somebody, it my problem is, and what I say, you know, and I'm not, you know, I'm not a advocate for the American way, but my thing is they wanted to solve the problem. They need to go on and do it themselves. They said that they can do this stuff themselves, but they keep asking the Republicans to join in. They want a bipartisan committee, you understand, you know, and so, but they say they can do it themselves. You understand? They need it's a mess. You understand? See, this is why I say that 2024 is looking real good. Hallelujah.
All right. I really hope so. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to write that in stone, but I really do hope so. But, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's a lot of things going on right now. I don't know. Excuse me, I had to sneeze. But, yeah. It's just been one.
Yeah, they got a lot of fires and going on in California. You understand? California should be nothing but burnt down pretty woods now, man, all the fires that happened over the last 10 years. You understand? But what are they doing with all the people that come that's being displaced? Where they at?
I have no idea. I really don't know. I don't know. I think, but, yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. I don't know. I have no idea. I hope, you know, like I said, all we can do at this point, and we say this over and over again, you know, is to watch. All we can do is watch and pray and wait on y'all to come, you know. But in the meantime, make the information accessible to people so that they know what's going on. And today I kind of wanted to talk about something. What is the name of it? Because I've had several people do GoFundMe pages, you know, and I want Israel, I really would love to see Israel get up with the times. I really would. I would love to see that because I'm going to tell you something. You know, I had the pleasure of watching some of our groups on YouTube for the Sabbath day. And they've toned down a lot, but there's still a lot of rhetoric going on out there. It's a lot of rhetoric going on out there about how we live this life in this society and what we need to do in this society and don't do and what we need to not participate in. And you know what? I have to say this because when we were in all the other captivities, the Most High told us to get comfortable where we was going to be at, especially the Babylonian captivity. He told us to build houses, get familiar with the customs, and do what you could do because you was going to be there. Now, we've been here for 400 years, and it seems like when the Israelites become conscious that they're Israel, they cut everything out. They just cut it out. And you still have to have certain things, like you have to have a job. I'm going to give you a for instance. I watched a video where this group was standing out there preaching and stuff, and this young man walked by, and he was like, man, where you on your way to? He said, I'm on my way to work. He was like, where you work at? I work at McDonald's. He was like, man, you working for the devil. You need to quit that job. I mean, that's the kind of stuff to me that just really doesn't make any sense. And you know what, and that's why a lot of people still say today that some of these people may not be Israel. They may be plants that have been planted there to cause the confusion because, to me, it's still confusion. Let me tell y'all something. No matter where you work, no matter what you're doing, you're still working for the corporation of America. All these corporations are under the same banner. There's no one good job and one better job. This is not our land, and anywhere that you need to work to be able to provide for your family, that's what you need to do as long as it's legit and legal and above board.
I agree.
He told me he was working for the devil.
Well, see, you know, here's the thing, man, Sophia. We're just finding out who we are. You understand? And we have to go through the motions of finding out what we need to do. And see, that's another thing here, too. And you're absolutely correct. You understand? But see, we got to we don't even know our culture. You understand what our culture was? We've been here 400 years. You understand? And we not one not out of them 400 years, we can't say 1 year that we practiced our culture. So we don't know nothing about our culture. You understand? And now we just coming back to our understanding and who we are. You understand? We're going to get a lot of stuff wrong. We're going to get a lot of stuff wrong. You understand? And time, you know, is our teacher. You understand? We learn from what we do throughout the time period. And sometimes, you know, we have to let the time make the difference, change. You understand? You know. They say, what the mother of invention is. Necessity is the mother of invention. So
right.
We have to start figuring out. You understand what I'm saying? Those of us that profess to think that we're doing right. You understand? That's where we need to stay in our corner, in our little box. You understand? And teach from there. You understand? If we prevail, then all other people will prevail. Hallelujah.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we have to I just want to talk about that. And one of the biggest things that I think for me, and not just for the Israelites, but for our community as a whole, we have to be more responsible in the things that we do in life. We have to be more responsible. And, you know what? I called a black guy who was a insurance agent, and I told him, I said, I want you to come on our show, and I want you to be a part of our program and be a part of our show. You know what he told me? He said, I have to check that out with my manager first.
Well, that might be how they have to handle their business. That might be the protocol of that business. You understand? You can't put out no information or anything. You understand? Unless you have the board say so. You understand? So we still making mistakes. We still do things that we don't have any idea. Oh my goodness. We don't have any idea. You understand? You know, you remember now, this is not our society. We don't know nothing about setting up no business. We you know, only reason we do it is because we had we were involved in that area. Everybody's not involved in that area. And they go to try to do that, you understand, so they ask their questions like they need to do. They go and do it on their own. You understand? So, you know, it's not an easy thing here. We just got to wait on the Almighty. Yeah, that's all we got. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, we got to continue to live. Continue to live. You understand what I'm saying? And I suggest that we pray for the existence of this society that holds us captive. You understand? And in that, you understand, we survive. Hallelujah.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one way to look at it, I guess. You know, I don't know. I mean, you know, I just think that it's very important, you know, that we understand how this thing works. And the reason why I say that is because I've had multiple people put up, GoFundMe pages for different things that they've gone through in life. And a lot of times it can be avoided if you would just do the things necessary to make sure that you're covered. And I'll say, for instance, life insurance. You know, I tell everybody, if you go on globelifeinsurance.com, they have rates as low as $2 a month, $3.49 a month at a certain age, until they get 18, and then it may go up to $6 a month. This stuff doesn't cost this much. You know, and everybody thinks, it's not going to happen to me. I hope it doesn't happen to anybody. But you still have to have. So I just want to put this one out here that I know about, globelifeinsurance.com. If you don't have insurance on your children, get some insurance on your children. It doesn't cost that much. It's the cost. it's less than the cost of a pack of cigarettes. And I heard cigarettes was $9 a pack. And the man was in the store, and he told the lady that's cheap because in Chicago they $15 a pack. So it's cheaper than a pack of cigarettes. And you only pay it once a month. We can't afford not to have this stuff.
Well, that's,
we
you know, that's
that. Go ahead.
Well, you know, that's a topic that needs to be addressed, of course. You understand? You know, I'd like to get insurance, and they were talking about $100-some-odd a month, man. You understand? Because I'm a smoker. You understand? But, you know, so I'm not going to do that. You know, what I'll do is I'll get them kids to put $10, $15, $20, $30 per child per month. You understand? And then they all, if by chance that I happen to die, then everybody get a little touch.
Absolutely. So
but
those are, that's
take out my check and give me some insurance. See, I got? What I'm trying to get now, life will or whatever that, you know, whatever. That gives everybody a little something in your household. Hey, man, I got you. You are on my life will. You're going to get this TV and that set up and blah, blah, blah. This is yours, blah, blah, blah. You know, you know things like that, man, because I'm not going to be able to take them with me like they did in Egypt. I mean, the dead people in Egypt, you know, they was buried with their stuff.
Right,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's all necessary. Nobody, and we're going to change the subject, but nobody expects anything like this to happen. But you need it. It's something that's necessary. It's something you have to have. You know, and nobody minds helping when you can't, with an emergency situation, you know, where you just may not have had it, but we encourage everybody to start doing that. Start taking care. It doesn't matter whether you're Israelite, practicing Israelite or non-Israelite, practicing Israelite. You still need to have certain things in place. There's certain things that need to be in place so that in the event something happens to you, you are covered. It's no different than storing up food. We've been telling people for umpteen years to store food, and they've done it. Well, guess what? Something happened. With the COVID vaccine and with the electrical grid in Texas, well, them people needed that stuff. It's very important to have these things. I mean, seriously. Because right now, at this point, everybody says, well, Yaina, it's really not a whole lot going on. No, it's not. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but this is how Yah does Israel. He'll give us a project. We work on it until it fulfills itself, and then we have to go back to everyday living. Everyday living means getting up and going to work every day, paying bills, coming home, and doing the family thing. That's what life is all about. Whether you have a career or a job, it becomes basic every day. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know, because this gives us time to understand our culture, to understand who we are, enjoy living this life, And making friends and meeting new family members. That's what this gives us a chance to do. Nobody can rush Yah. He's going to come when he want to come. Nobody knows the exact date, year, hour, or time. He's going to do it when he gets ready to do it. So in the meantime, guess what we have to do? We have to occupy our time until he comes. So that means we have to go to work every day. If you're retired, then do it however you do it. But most of us are still working every day. We have to still pay bills. We have to still go through the motions every day like we normally do. And that's very important to understand, because some people, they get this, they come on these calls, they get overly excited, and then they start selling every stuff. Don't start selling your furniture, your houses, and your things. You're going to still need somewhere to live.
Well, you know, those of them guys that are fanatical. My brother was a fanatic. You understand what I'm saying? He was living in a house, had his family living in the house where they took the water heat out, so now they can't get no hot water. And they lived in that house for years. You know. So the thing is with me is that live your life. Try to, you know, but know for sure that you're going to have to put that stuff down when the Almighty calls us. And he's going to call us. He's going to call us. He's not going to fail us at all. So live your life, man. If you think that you need insurance, have at it. If you think that you can pay for insurance, have at it. I show you a way that you can. Get your family members to chip in per month. You understand? So that you'll be able to pay the bill per month, you understand? And when you die, you understand, they'll all get a little piece of the action.
Live your life. Enjoy your life. Be prepared for life. That is the biggest thing we can tell you, if we can't tell you anything else, is be prepared for life. Because one thing I learned about life is life go on. People die, people leave, and life go on. It don't stop for anybody. You know, and the biggest thing, I remember my sister told me something that I will never forget. My niece was dying of cancer. And while she was going through the treatments and the doctors was trying to do everything they could do to help her and to try to maintain and try to change the situation around, when that girl took her last breath, they looked at my sister like, where do you want us to take the body? And she said that was a game changer for her because she was so caught up in the, I got to make sure, you know, that she gets this treatment and that treatment. Well, when the treatment didn't work anymore, they had to know, where do you want us to take the body? And you know what? And people have to be prepared for that. And I'm going to tell y'all something, mamas. I don't care how old they get, how where they at, something happened to them, they're going to call you. They're going to call you. If they don't have a wife, the mother is the next of kin. They're going to call you. They said, where do you want us to take the body? And at that moment, she had to think about it like, wow, this is really over. Yes, that was one phase of life. Now we're moving into another one. And all I'm telling people to do is be prepared. Because I think it really doesn't start costing until you get up past, I think, 40, 45. Once you get up past 45, you may be looking at maybe $30, $40 a month. The older you get, the more it costs. And if you're a smoker, the more it costs. But don't think that, oh, that's they grown. They supposed to have their own. No. Even if they don't have it, you better have something tucked away somewhere. And it don't have to be a whole lot. Just get enough to put them in the ground. So this is life. Everyday life.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
Insurance has always had a bad rap. You remember now, the insurance people always was the European. They come around to your house then, and they charge you X amount of dollars for your insurance when, you know, and over a period of, you started at the age of 20, you understand, and you didn't pass away till the age of 60. A lot of them people never got paid. You understand? The insurance company had folded up, or whatever happened to the insurance company, they never got paid. So they got a bad rap here. You understand? So that gave people a lot of reason why they're not messing with insurance companies. You know, but the best way that I see for me, you understand,
mm-hmm.
is the living will. That's fine for me. I ain't got to give up no money. You understand? I ain't got to put nobody in no position. You understand? Now, what we do need to do have money for our funeral and burial. You understand? And that costs us, and they got a hell of a price on that too. You understand? So to be exterminated. What they call that? They call it. Anyway, you understand? you know.
You mean to be cremated?
Cremated, man, cost you $1,800. $1,800 for them to bury you, I mean, for them to burn your body up and give you a little box with your ashes in it, because I got my mother over here now. You understand? But, you know, so expenses, you understand, has came exponentially. You understand? You got a lot of different expenses with that insurance. It ain't just paying insurance per month. It's after now.
Oh, yeah. I have never had a problem with it. I've never had, it depends on, now maybe a long time ago it was like that.
Yeah, it was.
But now you got too many reputable companies that's been around a long time. And if they close down, you're supposed to keep up with it to make sure that they give you back your premium or send you to another company. It's too many reputable companies out here now that have been around for a long time that pay out. And you've been paying on it for a long time, and they pay out. And if you continue to pay, now you have choices. These are the choices that you have. You can either pay for an insurance policy, or you can pay the funeral home. Now, the problem that I have with paying the funeral home is a lot of those places close down. And you're on a payment plan, and what happens when the funeral home closes down? Where's your money? But, I mean, it's up to the way you want to do it, but you got to have something. Like Gerber Life. Gerber Life has been around forever. Most people start those policies when their babies are young. That thing has been around forever. Globe Life has been around forever. You got all kind of insurance. Matter of fact, my father's insurance policy was through a Catholic organization that he had. And he was in his late 60s, early 70s when he got that policy. But you know what, Brother Donnell? It was just enough to put him in the ground. And that's all we cared about. And he paid it every month, and it wasn't that much. I think it was like $58 a month, and it was just enough to put him in the ground. And that's all we cared about, so that the responsibility wouldn't fall on us. And he got that late in life. Now, most people have insurance through their jobs. And if your children are minors, some of the jobs allow you to carry them on your policies through your job. Most people have that through their jobs, for at least for themselves. You know, but we got to start looking into those things, because guess what? We eat that money up every week going to the fast food restaurants and all that kind. It's time to start paying attention to that, because, you know, you don't want anything to ever happen, but you don't know when it's going to happen. So that's all I'm saying is look into it. And one of them that I know of for sure is Globe Life. I think you can get a $50,000 policy from if you start at like the age 20, they'll take you up to about 40 years old. I think it's only like $21 a month. $21 a month. You don't even have to get that much. You can get $5,000. Just get enough to put them in the ground. So I just wanted to cover that. And it's not for the people on this call. This is more so for the people that are out in the listening audience listening. You know, because these are things that we have to have. So I just wanted to say that. That's all I wanted to say. I didn't mean to take up the whole class with this, because I didn't want the whole show to be about this. This is just something that I've been trying to talk about for a minute that I didn't get a chance to, because we were either discussing something else or, you know, there was some sort of trauma going on. But, yeah, it's pretty important that we get this done. I mean, it really is. It really is. And like one of the sisters was saying, you know, with the way that the economy is going and all this stuff is happening with the food, it was a blessing that the Most High put it in Brother Yerushalayim's heart to even start a farm, because he might have to feed all of us. You know, and I wanted to say something to him, too. I know you said you don't want to open this up to all of the communities of Israel, and that you wanted to keep this just for the nation of Yehuda. Just some FYI, see how everything goes, and if the people that are on these calls and on these classes don't respond, feed whoever that's a part of our communities that'll be able to buy from you. Because one thing that I've noticed about a lot of people that be on these calls and they pledge certain things and they don't follow through. Everybody doesn't follow through. It's only a select few that I can say hey, I'm in, put me in, sign me up. But the majority of them are just here to listen. Some of these people belong to other camps. They coming on here from other camps. So, this is just a suggestion, not telling you what to do, but in order to move your produce the way you need to, I would open it up to as many people that would sign up to get groceries from you. I would not wait on these people to do that. I really wouldn't. That's just in my opinion. That's just in my opinion. Because some people go into the grocery store with food stamps and all kind of stuff. You got to take that into consideration. Very few people buy their groceries with money. Now, I don't know if you can get licensed to take food stamps. I don't know how that works, but, you got to think about a lot of people getting food stamps and stuff. So they going to where they can spend their monies. Just saying, And I know that there was another farm here that Malka was going to sign up to co-op with so that she could be a part of it and order certain foods and stuff every 6 months or every 90 days or however it worked out, I'm just saying don't cut yourself off. Don't limit yourself because there's a lot of variables to the way people are surviving today. That's all I'm saying. A lot of variables. Israel is a very fickle bird. It's a very fickle bird. And I asked the guy, I seen the guy on YouTube. He was like, I don't understand why everybody's so fragmented. Why is everybody so all over the place? And that was my thing. But everybody, we're not like the church. We're a nation. We're not like a church. You can't centralize us into one faith. Oh, I'm Baptist, or I'm Presbyterian, or I'm apostolic, or I'm this. And the central connection that they all have is Jesus. We're not like that. We're a nation. We're a nation of people that are scattered worldwide. So, and everybody believes something different. Everybody believes something different. And that's why, as a nation, you have to be able to connect yourself with the people who Yah has connected you with. For you all who are new, this is not like the church. Nothing like it. Don't compare us to Christianity. Don't compare us to denominations. We are not a religion. We are a nation that lives by laws that the Most High has given us, and this is how we live. We're not, everybody's not going to come together on the same high holy days. Everybody's not going to do things the same way. We are a nation of people that are in exile, scattered all over the world.
Well, Sister Yaina, you understand? You got to take in consideration that everybody lives in the four corners of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And the time is a different time period. You understand? The land mass is different. Agriculture goes different. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
We live in America where we don't control a damn thing. You understand what I'm saying? So you got to take into consideration that's why we're fragmented. That's why we have all different kinds of understandings. You understand? Some people can do the law, you understand, that pertains to the agriculture, and some people have to do the law the best they can under the law of the agriculture. You understand? So it's a different time period. Once we get out of this place, you understand, and are in our own land, it's going to be different. It's got to be different because, you understand, we're not under the auspices and the guidelines of somebody else. We running this from the time, from what the scriptures have said and how it's supposed Like we had one of the brothers, you understand, did evil in the eyes of the Almighty, you understand, and he didn't get stoned to death because we can't do that in America. We can't even. The best thing that we could do, you understand, is put out a pamphlet stating his charges, you understand, and try to get him banned from Israel in America. You understand, or wherever else he goes, wherever the, as far as the flags go. So we gotta take in consideration here. You understand? We got all of this stuff. Now, see, there's another factor here too. You understand? Is that like the Hebrew Israelite understanding did not come into America till the time of Rabbi Crowley. You understand? He came out of Jamaica somewhere, or one of them nations. You understand? And a lot of the brothers and sisters were in Judaism at that particular time, under the rabbis and all of that in America. Mm-hmm. But when we found out that we are the people of the book, they started breaking away. And each person that broke away, each one of the brothers that broke away, you understand, and started their own organization, they brought their perspective. Understand that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay, so that's a good question. Let me ask. I'm gonna propose a question. I see you all. I see you, Brother Yerushalayim. Give me one moment, and I want to read something to you because I found this. I found this on one of the brothers on one of the websites of one of the camps, and they said that if you know of someone who has committed a crime in this land, that our responsibility is to turn them over to the powers that be under the law of the land. Now, the scripture they gave me was Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1. And it says this, "And if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing and is a witness, whether he has seen or know of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity." So in other words, if somebody breaks the law and they do something that is against the law, and there is a witness, whether he's seen it or heard somebody did it, if he does not report it, then he shall bear that man's iniquity. My question to the panel today is, because we're in captivity, do you all believe that if an Israelite commits a crime, should we turn him over to the police? Hold on, I'm going to open up Brother Yerushalayim's mic. Brother Yerushalayim, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Shalom. And what I say is, I think that we should, because we're supposed to do what is right, and according to that scripture that did say, you know, you don't want to bear nobody's iniquity. But you look at some of the crimes that are being committed now, you know, it just had a guy just had a indecency with a child. Would you not turn him in? I would, you know, because I have children. You know, I would turn him in. I mean, and I think that we should do that, because before we go over that land anywhere, we're going to be all purged out and cleaned up. And that's part of the purging process, in my opinion. You know, because if you really, truly trying to keep, and not saying that people don't make mistakes, because they do, but if you really, truly, and honestly trying to keep the laws, statutes, and commandments in this land of our captivity, then you're going to do it to the best of your ability, and you won't be involved in those type of behaviors. You won't.
I agree with that. And I'd like to add something to that, if you don't mind. You understand? Is that,
mm-hmm.
And you know, we have to make the example here. You understand? If we don't do what we're supposed to do, you understand? Like it says, turn that brother in or sister in. You understand what I'm saying? What example are we making? We're going to get that. That'll be a thing for people to do continually. You understand? We got to show that with a child. You understand? He was banned from the community, but he can go somewhere else and set up. Just keep his stuff on the down low. You know? I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the scripture that they gave, Leviticus 5:1. You know, and see, that's the catch-22 because, well, no, they're not, because I was getting ready to say, the laws of the land here say you're only supposed to have one wife, and these brothers got multiple wives, but guess what? They're not marrying anybody legally. So they're basically common law.
Does the scripture actually say you can only have one wife? That's what it says there?
No, I'm saying when we talk about the laws of the land, I'm talking about over here in this land, it does say you're only supposed to have one wife. But I said these brothers are not marrying these women anyway, so they're really not considered legal wives in the eyes of the law. So you can't use that as an excuse either. You know what I'm saying? It's only when you physically, legally marry more than one woman through the law of these laws that they consider that to be bigamy. So they get a pass on that, you know.
Well, you know, see, the thing is that we base it our laws, or what we understand to be law, is what's been written in the laws of this land. You understand? Now, when we go back home, it's all together a different thing, man. You understand? It's nothing gonna be like what we're up against today. You understand? So, you know, I can't stress that enough, man. It's different. You understand? What we are basing our understanding on is what we know of the laws today, 400 years, or even
right.
2,500 years. We base our decision on what we have learned in those 2,500 years. We ain't basing it on our land, the laws that is written for the land.
Right. That's true, because we're not in the land right now, but I'm just saying over here, I think that a lot, just like people were trying to establish their own sovereignty and all that, everybody was trying to handle the punishment of breaking Yah among themselves, and when some things require you to have people locked up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Some things require you to call the police and have them locked up.
See, one thing that you got to understand also, and I'm going to shut up too, you understand, is that when if you don't punish, give the brother or sister a punishment, you understand, they ain't learned nothing. They
That's
gonna
true.
Continuously do it.
That's
you understand?
True.
And then there's going to be other folks, you understand, to join in a whole different way. Look at homosexuality in this society here. It started out man having sex with another man, you know, and women so up. Now they got transgender. What the hell? That's something exploded.
But you know what? I'm gonna say this. We use that as an example only because we can see them. You know what I'm saying? We see what they're doing, and we can physically see that. But it's right up there with the rest of the other stuff, too. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's no different than a whoremonger or a woman that's a whorish woman. It's all punishable. I'm going to say this. I used to be like that. I used to be like, oh, that's punishable by death. Oh, the Most High going to get them. That's punishable. You know what he told me? He said, I got a lot of things punishable by death. A whole lot of things. With a married woman and a married man sleeping with other people. These people is these so-called monogamous relationships. These people are having threesomes. They sleeping with each other. They swapping each other out. So the reason I think we come down on homosexuality so tough is because that's something we can see. Everybody else's stuff is hidden and you can't see it. But it's all gonna be the same punishment. Today, sodomy. It's men that are sodomizing their wives. Because you know why? Because Christianity tells them that the bed is undefiled. That means means whatever you do in it, it's acceptable by God.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference in another man sodomizing another man and a man sodomizing his wife? What's the difference? Somebody please tell me. It's the same thing. So the it's not so much, as much as it is the same sex doing it to each other, it's the act itself. These people are, they're sodomizing their wives. This is a common, I had a young lady to tell me about 3 weeks ago that she met a guy and they were engaging, they were going to engage in physical, you know, whatever. And he went to have sex in the back, and she said, I don't do that. She said, that's sodomy. You know what he told her? He said, well, good luck having a relationship then.
Wow. The devil's head
is in there. Sodomy is sodomy no matter who does it.
Exactly.
So, like the Most High said, all of it is punishable by death. All of that is punishable by death. You know, so that's why I said when we really began to get real about this thing, that's why I always tell everybody, you know, I have to repent for me. I have to make sure I keep me together because everybody did something. Everybody did something. For real. I mean, you know what I mean? And it's just, this is common practice now for these people. When I tell you the moral fiber of this country is gone in the toilet, I am not joking.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone.
You're absolutely correct. Now, let me give you an example of that. They have no moral, they never had any moral fiber. Period. Not this society of democracy, so to speak. The police has always been able to chain with the maintenance murder at will and with no punishment. They talking about cutting their funding. They talking about sending them back to the table, to the drawing board to give them more laws or whatever, you understand, to try to, but they never mention the moral fiber. Have a little caration about the people that you're dealing with, you understand? You know, don't be so quick to escalate things. They're not talking about that's moral. You got to have some morals. You got to care about a person in order to stop the killings, the murders. You understand? They don't care. They have no moral fiber. And it never had none of that. Now, I'm going to give you a question or a statement that I'm going to make. You understand? Is Jesse Lee Peterson. I know y'all must know him. He's on the internet all the time. He's a nitwit, Black Bubba Coon. You understand? And he said that he's been... a member, or he started the white people, what they call it, he started the, what they call it, White People's Month, just like they got Black Month for blacks. They started an organization for 4 years. I haven't heard of it as a chance right now, but they have no moral fiber that they could stand on. They can't say, well, we did such and such and that brought America along without including black folks. They have nothing that they could stand on. All they have is war, war, and more war. And how they've been treating it. You understand? Jim Crow, that's all they got. They ain't got nothing else. They don't have nothing good that they can say about American whites, period.
Hallelujah.
So that's
all
right,
Area code
228,
your mic's open. You're on the air.
Yes, when you're talking about that sodomy, I heard one of them say that it's clear that when you
that the Most High said what is sodomy and what is not. Because if another man lieth with another man the way he lieth with a woman, so they take that and say, well, it's okay. That means it's okay. I don't agree with it, but that's what they say.
Moral battle. They don't have none of that. That's look at when you do something like that, you're going against the law, but it's a moral thing. You understand? What do you expect to have by lying with another man or lying with another woman? What is the benefit?
Okay, well, let me tell you what the scriptures say. How about let's go there? Because that's the best place to take it. If you go to, let me see, where we at? Deuteronomy.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go here. Let me get it together. Deuteronomy chapter 23. You go to Deuteronomy chapter 23, and it's verse number 17. Let me see what it say. Because, see, people find a way to do what they want to do. You know, and they have to be to the point where they understand, you know, the Most High is playing with it all. He don't leave no stone unturned. It says, there shall be no whores of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. So guess what? That means sodomy is forbidden whether you're doing it to a man or a woman.
Absolutely.
It's forbidden. It says, thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore. What do you say? Don't bring none of the prostitute money. So if you got your prostitute, don't bring your prostitute money or the price of a dog into the house of the Most High by Elohim for any vow. He said, I don't even want that money. The money ain't even clean.
That is
correct.
For
even both of these are an abomination unto the Most High by Elohim. So you cannot, sodomy is not accepted.
Absolutely.
Period. And people find a way to twist to it. I heard a lady say, and I don't want y'all to get mad, but I heard her say, she said, I love Jesus. She said, because Jesus was cool. She said, that was my nigga. Now, this is exactly what she said. That was my nigga, because he hung with 12 other brothers. And you ain't going to tell me that them 12 other brothers wasn't funking each other.
That is awful.
And ain't it terrible? And when I thought about what she said, it let me know at that moment that these people are mentally gone. These people don't know who they talking about. These people are gone. Their minds are gone. She was like, that's all he hung around was drunks and sinners. And you ain't going to tell me it wasn't no homosexual brothers up in there in the clique. And you ain't going to tell me him and the disciples, all them brothers together, you ain't going to tell me they wasn't doing it. This is where we at today. These are the people we dealing with today. These people are gone. I was like, wow, are you kidding me?
That's awesome.
So... you know... Yay.
Those are people we pray for and standing our prayers in the breach for them. Because I hope she repent that if she has sense enough to.
I don't know. You know what, ma'am? I don't know if she got sense enough to do it or not. I really, at this point, nothing surprises me anymore. But it does scare me because these are the people that we deal with every day. These are the people that are out living among us every day. These are the people. These are them. And it's scary. It is really scary that this is what we are truly living in a society like Sodom and Gomorrah, because guess what? It was all kind of stuff going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. We're living in a real live society with all that stuff going on now. Everybody's doing everything. Anything they think they big enough to do, they're doing it. No? So, I mean, she sure did say that. She said that out of her own mouth. She said that. What can you say? I mean, really, what can you say behind something like that? You know, this is the mindset that people are in. This is the world that we are living in. And it is pretty doggone scary when you understand how less these people know about the God that's coming. They don't know him. I would never say no stuff like that. Never. She did. She really did. I was like, wow. That's right up there with everything else. Like, wow. I mean, seriously. Woo! No fear. They have no fear. They have no filters. They have no restraints. They have nothing. Whatever they feel, they say. Whatever they feel, they do. However they want to do it, they do it. And you better not say nothing about how they doing it or who they doing it with. You know? But what can you do? All you can do, you know, is keep telling them, you keep giving them the word, and hopefully it'll click in. Hopefully one day it'll snap. Like, you know, this is ridiculous. You know, it's a free-for-all. It's a free, the girls doing the girls, the boys is doing the boys, and guess what? Everybody else is swapping with each other. I was on the job. I see you guys. I'm coming. I was on the job, and I heard this young lady and her and one of my other coworkers was talking about a New Year's Eve party that they went to. And the girl asked the other girl, she was like, well, what party did y'all go to? She was like, oh, you might not have wanted to come to our party. She said, because they went to an orgy for New Year's Eve. And everybody had to get HIV tested or whatever, but her and her husband participated in an orgy for New Year's Eve. Husband and wife. Area code 214. Mic is open. I'm just telling you. Husband and wife. This is what they do. And like they say, they've been doing it. But guess what? Now it's mainstream. Now they don't care who knows it. Before there was some sort of everybody kind of hid what they was doing. But now it's a free-for-all. Everybody do whatever.
Can I expand the definition of sodomy?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I'm looking at a definition. It says sodomy or buggery is generally anal or oral sex between people or sexual activity between persons and a non-human animal. But it may also mean any non-procreative sexual activity. So not only are we talking about anal sex, we're talking about anything that is not being engaged in for procreation. That's a really broad definition of sodomy, and a lot of people fall within that. But going back to what this woman said about the Messiah, if we're talking about Jesus, he forgives anything. And so, you know what? What she's saying, I can understand why she would say that. Because it's like, you can do anything. All you have to do is ask forgiveness. So it's not beyond the pale or not beyond, you know, thinking that he would, if something was going on between the disciples, yeah, you know what? It's all under the blood.
No, she was saying they was all doing each other.
I know what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying. But if you take that same idea and just expand it out, I can understand why she said, you know what? If you'll forgive us, He'll forgive them. He loved them even more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're close. They're close to him. But I actually want to take this a step further to one of my little pet peeves. People are always talking about abortion, abortion, abortion. They never talk about what leads to abortion. I said, you know what? All of this stuff that people are engaging in, the sexual activity, people want to deal with the consequences, and I think it's because they themselves are dealing with, are engaging in some of those activities. They're just not getting caught in the end result. I keep saying, don't tell me about abortion. Let's go back to fornication and and whatever else. And so I always think people are just hypocrites. And I'm thinking, if you use this broad definition of sodomy, it catches everybody. I mean, it would even catch me. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, because my hands are not clean. You know, I have not walked the, like this pure little trail. No. So I'm thinking, boy, this catches you. In this society, this probably would catch like 95% of the people.
Sure would. You got that right. You got that right. So that's why I say when you really start to break this stuff down, it's like, now, wait a minute. Hold on, you know, but hey, I'm just saying, there's no hold bars in that people are doing whatever they want to do. And you better not say nothing about it. That's all I'm going to say. You better not open
up. And that's why statutes are so important. It tells us what we're supposed to be doing. It tells us what the consequences are because it says this stuff is punishable by execution.
Right. You better say that when we get in our own land. So, you know, that's why I think Christianity is so acceptable now, because now they're condoning whatever, and they're saying what you're saying. Like, well, Jesus will forgive you. He knows you're human, and you're going to make a mistake. So just go ahead and let him forgive you, and you're going to be good, and we all going to heaven as long as you say you're sorry. That's acceptable, you know. But when we talk about the gathering of Israel and removing Israel from the Gentile clutch and taking Israel to a place of safety where they are going to be alone with their Elohim, like Brother Donia said, a whole lot of stuff going to change. A whole lot of things ain't going to be the way it was over here. It's going to be a whole lot of things that's not going to be acceptable, you know. But getting them to understand that here is like pulling teeth. It's like, well, you know, hey, do what you got to do. You know, hey, so I hear you. I understand what you're saying. But everybody's doing it. It can't be that bad. Well, you know, my job is to tell you. Now, once I tell you, my hands is clean. I done told you and showed you. So my hands is clean. I got to work on me. Because guess what? Yaina Israel ain't perfect, but I'm a work in progress, and I have to work. I repent every time I think about it. I'm asking him to forgive me for the things that I may have forgot about. You know what I'm saying? But so, you know, I don't spend a whole lot of time condemning other people, but the Bible does tell us we have to tell you. So once we tell you, your choice, that's still your choice. You have to make the choice. I make choice. And whatever choice you make, when you choose to make that choice, when you stand before the Most High, he's going to tell the angel, rewind the tape. Now, I remember on this day, you was told this by this person because I sent them to tell you, and you knew what the word said. So now the rest of it is on you. And that's everything across the board, from whoremonging to whoring to sodomy to bestiality to lying to everything. You was told. Now you can do.
It's tight. It's like, wow.
I tell the truth. Jeez, you be like, no, honey, I can't afford to. No, I can't do it. I remember they overpaid me at Walmart one time. And a new girl, she had overpaid me. I knew that girl had overpaid me when I walked out the store. But you know what I didn't do? I ain't spend that money. I brought that money right back to the store. I'm like, no, I can't. And I guess the manager wanted to know, who is this woman that's bringing money back? But my thing was, I'm not getting in trouble with y'all. I done did enough stuff. I got to make sure. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I've done enough stuff in my life where I got to walk. I ain't perfect, but I try to walk this straight and narrow because I can't afford. I don't want to miss out on this. I don't want to miss out on this. You know, and I know he ain't just cut and dry like, okay, you didn't make it, that's it. Whoop, send it to the guillotine. I know he ain't like that, but I'm just saying, I know me. You know, and the Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You know, so I got to make sure I keep me together. That's all I'm saying. You know, so I have to make myself do the right thing because I got a little devil on my shoulder whispering in my ear like, ain't nobody going to know you got that money. Go and take that money and spend it. That's her fault. She shouldn't have messed up. I have to talk to that. You know, I have to ignore that little devil on my shoulder saying, no, I'm taking this money back. I'm giving this money back to the store. I'm not getting ready to get in no trouble. So that's me. You know, so I'm just saying this, Sheev. I know y'all ain't a Israel, okay? I have to make sure I keep myself in the straight now, for real. So I
Can
don't
I
float. I want everybody to know that I do not float. Go ahead, mm-hmm. Sister Yusadia.
I wanted to say something about Leviticus 5:1. And so
yeah.
I was listening to what the brothers were saying, but I have a slightly different take on it. I think we are duty-bound to obey the laws of the Most High as we know them. But in this country, there are unjust laws. And if the law is not just, I see absolutely no need to comply with it. It used to be that they were picking people up for vagrancy and then they were being hauled off to jail because they didn't have a job. I mean, under that law, if you didn't say something, technically, if it's just a law, and we have to abide by the law, even if it's an unjust law, I'm thinking, no, if it doesn't line up with the law of the Most High, then I'm thinking, nope, that's me personally. I'm not going to comply. I'm not going to do anything that violates the law as I know it in terms of what the Most High has said. But if I'm looking at something and I know that it's been put in place just to serve a certain population or to disadvantage us as a people, then I feel absolutely no obligation to comply with it.
Okay, but the Bible tells you, obey the laws of the land. We have a responsibility to obey the law of the land. Even the land that we're in captivity, as long as it doesn't contradict Yah's law, we still have to obey the law. We can't run red lights. We can't run stop
mm-hmm.
signs. We got to make sure we have license tags on our car. With the updated sticker, you know if somebody rapes somebody, that's a law you have to tell on them. If somebody murders somebody and you know about it, you have to call the police. This is the stuff we're talking about. The stuff where
right. You
know people have done things, especially in Israel. They when they first started out, they wanted to create their own judicial system. You can't do that in a country where you're already living that has one. So
I understand that.
You got to call the police.
Mm-hmm. That I understand. Those things I understand. But then there are some laws that are on the books that are absolutely, they don't comply with the Most High's laws, and they are just there because they empower or enrich or disadvantage somebody. Then I'm thinking no. But definitely those kinds of laws, because those laws are very much in line with the laws of the Most High. Those laws are also laws that are for the proper operation of a society. So, like you said, license, I understand those kinds of things for sure. But then there's some other things I'm thinking, not going to do it.
I mean, you know, again, those are choices that each one of us has to make. And we
mm-hmm.
have to make choices whatever way we do. But what we're saying was that there were a lot of things going on in Israel back in the day. For instance, the situation with Dimona. Now, they contacted us and told us that the men were over there raping the children in Dimona. This was a big deal years ago. They called
mm-hmm.
us and told us all the things that were going on over there. And how people, I put somebody's phone on mute. How people were finding out that their children had been raped by the school teachers, or some of the men that was over there was raping the little girls and stuff. And our first thought was, why didn't you call the authorities? But because they were in there illegally, I guess they didn't want to draw any attention to themselves because they didn't want to give them a reason for not, you know what I'm saying, having them there at all. You know, and things like that, like Brother Donny, I said, with those guys getting out, that they kicked out of the country, they over in Ghana.
But
you know,
no.
And nobody knows who they were. They don't have a registry or anything like we do, a sex offender registry where you can say, okay, this brother or this sister been convicted of this crime. They just go and assimilate themselves into another community. And
but
do
see,
it again.
That's... To not say anything violates what the Most High says, because the Most High says that when you know something like that, you're supposed to take it, and I think it's supposed to be like a quorum of three people, you're at least three people, and they're supposed to judge what it is that's been done. And as I said, I'm punishable by execution. If you don't turn them in, then you're duty-bound to take them out. I was talking with one of my relatives the other day, and I was saying, you have one time to rape somebody. That's punishable by death. You have one time to kill somebody. That's punishable by death. We can clear up Israel if we follow what the Most High says. Because we're in this land, then we are obligated to turn them in. But if you're not going to turn them in, then to me, you're obligated to kill them. Are you going to follow somebody's law? It's mercy to turn them in here.
But then if you
because
kill them, then
keep
you
breathing.
So you can't take the law into your own hands while we're in
captivity. Well, I wouldn't. That's the reason why I would report them. Definitely I would. Because I think that's one of the things that we owe ourselves as a community. We owe ourselves to have a safe place to live, not overrun by people who are violators of the law.
Absolutely.
Yahweh.
Just imagine that he or she that they raped or that he raped is your son or your daughter. You understand? The
mm-hmm.
least thing that you could do was turn him into the police.
Absolutely.
You know, turn him into law. But I was upset when that boy did that to my daughter. I didn't know about it for 6 months. They didn't tell me because they know I was carrying a gun at that time, and my reputation was 50. You understand? And
mm-hmm.
and that was the hand of the Almighty, because he got dealt with down the road. You understand what I'm saying? And I stayed out of jail. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because that would make you go to jail. I mean, that really would. So a lot of these people have run into our society thinking that it's a free-for-all because of the
mm-hmm.
way we carry ourselves as a people, and that a lot of people don't want to call the police. But we're saying, if you know, and when I saw that on them brothers' website, I said, absolutely. If you know of somebody that has committed a crime, call the police. Because all you're doing
is
out there to cause more havoc in our communities. Because we don't call the police on Israel. Yes, you do.
Absolutely.
That's true, but that also is a violation of the Most High law.
Mona, all of those rapes and I think that if I can't say, you understand, I don't have no proof, but there was murders in Dimona, a lot of murders going on too. You understand? In Dimona, and them guys never got told. They like
never.
You said, they don't know who the hell they were by their name. You understand? They still functioning in Dimona today.
Yeah, sure is. Could be on YouTube somewhere. Giving interviews and stuff, you never know, because nobody ever told. And you know what? And everybody was like, well, you know, what can we do about it? Something should have been done about that. Something should have been done about that. You don't just get to do that. You know, but again,
they shouldn't be breathing, too, in my opinion.
Absolutely. You know, you raping people, and guess what they were doing? I went on a radio show one time where they were still recruiting people to come over there. And I was trying to be as polite as I could be with the brother, because he was calling from Dimona. And the other guy, it was his radio show, and the guy was like, well, my sister's about to quit her job. I was trying to say, I really wouldn't do that if I was you. She needs to do her research. And he was like, well, is this something you want to tell us? And I'm like, she needs to do her research. And the brother from Damona knew what I was talking about. And he was like, well, Yaina, a lot of things have changed over here. And, you know, those people are no longer with us. And it's like, dude, I'm not listening to nothing that you're saying.
So if they're no longer with him, where did they go? Yeah.
Well, the reason why they did what they did in Damona and let them guys slide and didn't go to the police, because they were dealing with another society that run things. You understand? And they were just as corrupt, you understand, as the Ben Amin and them. As a matter of fact, worse. Because the Ben Amin and them, they wanted to and they tried to establish themselves as the Hebrew Israelites. You understand? But they had too many people that was not of the other nation, but that was involved in stuff that they didn't clean up their act.
That's right.
And so they took out of America, they brought that stuff to Damona. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And guess what? And now the children are molesting. The children that was molested are molesting now. It's like, listen, y'all can have all that. That's why I said, when we do make it to the wilderness and we get to where we're going, the Most High is going to shut all of that. It ain't going to be none of that.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever we're going to be at, it's not going to be none of that, because we're a nation. And that's why I used to tell all the young
people. It says there will be no unrighteousness seen amongst us once we go back home.
And I tell all these young ladies, when you meet these guys on the internet, on Facebook, and they claiming to be Hebrew Israelites, you better check them out. Because it's no different. You don't know who you're dealing with or what kind of past they've had. You know, and it's like, no, predators are always looking for a way to come in and disrupt the community and the culture.
Absolutely.
You know? And we have to protect our children. Children should be allowed to play and be safe and not have to worry about that. But they did. So, you know, it's just time to start calling the police. You know, and I just thought that was excellent that they had that on their website, that, you know, that if you know of somebody, he said if you've seen it or you know about it, you have an obligation to tell. So, like I tell people, don't tell me nothing, because I don't want to know. I don't want to have to be put in that position. You know, don't. You know, because the Most High going, somebody going, you know what you did. You know what you've done. You know, so we got a lot, you know, like I said, we got a lot of cleaning up to do. It's like, no. Mm-mm. But it's a lot of work. I mean, you know, when you talk about the governing people and people governing themselves, that's a lot of work. It's a lot, because everybody has their own idea about how things should be done.
It shouldn't be like that at all. They should base their understanding on how it reads in the scriptures. And, you know, at some point, we got to have a council of elders. So if you have some doubt, you bring it to the council of elders. They read in the scriptures and find out what the word says. You understand? Then they can make a decision on it. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Absolutely, you know, because that's some serious stuff. You know, the jail's already full, you know, but some things, you know, we got to do better. You know, we really have got to do better in that area, you know, but we getting there one person at a time. We just have to keep, you know, doing what we're doing. But that is what the scriptures say, Leviticus 5:1. It says, and if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing and is a witness, whether he have seen or know of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquities. I ain't getting ready to get in trouble for nobody else's stuff. I'm sorry. Not me.
Well, I think in Ezekiel 7, it says something similar. You understand?
Yeah. I lead you to serve. I think, yep, I agree. You know, we got to be able to, you know, those are the things, you know, because like I said, the predators are still out here. They ain't went nowhere. They still out here. They got on garb and they have on all kind of stuff too. And you know, they hiding in the bushes in the background. But you know what? They can only get away with what we let them get away with, because if everything is on the up and up and you watching your family, you'll be good. And then if we find out you done did something like that, you going to jail. If a person know that that's hanging over them, they would be more apt not to do it. But I think a lot of these predators came into Israel because at one point we had the mentality, oh, we ain't going to give them over to the white people because we're going to handle it ourselves. No, no. Turn them over to the authorities.
That is where they should go, because they should not be in our community. No.
No. No. You know, no, absolutely not. I don't think so.
They should go over and suffer the consequences of being amongst people who will treat them as they should be treated when they have violated the Most High's consequences, or when they have gone against their own. They're traitors.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And some of these... they done named some of these people Kohens and you know, all kind of stuff. And they gave them, they running classes and all kind of things. And it's like, no, no, you don't get to do that. You just can't just do that. Because they don't want to hand them over to the so-called white man. I don't want to, we ain't, no, yeah, you do. You hand them right over because they got laws and stuff set up to be able to handle that. Yeah, you do. You know, nobody get a pass. Because the one thing about it, the Most High, them angels is taking notes. They taking notes and they writing down names, and it ain't going to be funny. But when she said Jesus and the disciples was homosexuals, I'm like, Lord have mercy. Woo! It was a lot. I mean, you know, it's just like, wow.
She gave it up, you understand, of going into the land.
And wait a minute, and then they said David and what was Saul's son, Jonathan, was homosexual.
Yeah.
They did.
You know, because I heard that stuff on the internet too, where they talked about how kissed him, you understand, you know, and They assimilated that with homosexuality. Nothing else. Mm-hmm. But they can't even bring up any other reason why they make that decision.
I can.
You know, and that was a gesture of love, but not
right.
In
That's
a homosexual
exactly
way.
See, this is
they
about norms.
Together, man. They was buddies. They hung out together.
Mm-hmm. This is all about norms. I was raised in a church where the men kissed each other and the women kissed each other. And I never saw it as anything sexual. Now, I didn't like being kissed simply because I don't want people touching me. But on the other hand, it says, greet your brother with a holy kiss. So they would literally greet their brother with a holy kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think, you know, kissing in the mouth or anything like that. You know, I think Jesus said that David, you know, kissed him on the neck. You understand?
Oh.
You know, I think that
they
was how that
lips.
Was. You understand?
The men kissed on the lips at your church?
Yeah, on the lips, yes. And women kissed each other on the lips.
Oh, no,
but
no,
men did not kiss women. And women didn't kiss women. I'm just telling you, norms. Now, I've been gone for a long time, and I've not seen it recently, but this was common when I was a child.
And the men was kissing each other in the mouth.
Yes. They weren't kissing each other. They weren't French kissing each other. Yes. Women would kiss each other. Men would kiss each other. On the mouth.
Wow.
And it was totally... It was totally okay because there was no sexual connotation to it.
Mm.
I didn't know anything about homosexuality until probably I was an adult.
Well, I see
but
that.
This was very common for me to see. I thought nothing of it.
I could see kissing a man in his mouth, you understand, on a continual basis. could lead to something very much serious than what we think. You understand?
But
you know,
this was done in public.
Not homosexual intentions, but that's questionable with me.
I'm sure my father did, my grandpa. You know, my uncle. You know what? It was common because, and you know, you go to, and it's a church. You greet each other. Hello, hello. You kiss.
I don't want to be rude, but I have a question. Was this a black church or all a more predominantly white church?
This was. Some congregations were predominantly black. The ones that I was in, most of them were predominantly black. But then I was also spent much of my life in one that was predominantly white, and then was mixed. Yeah, it was this. There were mixed congregations, black congregations, white congregations. Yeah, it didn't matter.
Wow. I've never heard of that. I mean,
I'm laughing only because I know that you're speaking. It's so unusual, but honestly, I tell you, it wasn't unusual for me at all or anybody. I come from my grandmother had 16 children, so there were a lot of kids, a lot of people, a lot of kissing. Because you're greeting your brother with a holy kiss. You're greeting your sister with a holy kiss. I've been kissed. I was kissed quite often.
Why did it have to be in the mouth? Because I've never kissed a woman in the mouth.
I don't know. It's just that as a child, you don't question because that's just from the time that's the only church I was raised in. So that's all I saw. And that was, yes.
okay. Well, wait. Hold on. Let me ask the audience, and
I only threw that in there because that thing with Jonathan and I can't remember.
Has anybody in this line ever kissed the same sex in your church in the mouth as a holy kiss? If so, push one.
No.
In church. Brother Yerushalayim, I'm laughing. I mean, I've heard of that before my whole life. If anyone that's ever been in Christianity, in your church, have you ever kissed the same sex in the mouth as a holy kiss? Ain't nobody pushing one, so I'm assuming that is a no. I've never heard
you know what? We also said we're a peculiar people. Now, that's what we said about ourselves, and we were different, that's for sure.
Clearly. I mean, really, wow. I mean, hey. I mean, you know, I don't even know what to say behind that one, but it is what it is. I mean, you know.
It wasn't sexual.
Yeah. Well, it would have to lead to be something after a while. I mean, because
no.
I just...
It was never done in private. I mean, it's just like if I walk up to the door and I see someone and you're happy to see them, you just give them a quick kiss.
In the mouth, though?
Yes.
Mm. Hold on, wait a minute. I got somebody push one. Area code 470, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Shalom. I was just going to say, that sounds very weird to me. And for her, it may have not been sexual, but for somebody it was. Maybe the founders that thought that was the way we were to greet each other. I could greet you with a holy kiss on the cheek, but not in the mouth. And everybody just running around kissing each other in the mouth. I think that's very problematic.
Yeah,
I think you pointed
that
I'm way
older.
Too.
Yeah, I'm in my 60s, and so I'm older. Now I think it would be problematic. But then it wasn't problematic. Now I think it probably would be problematic now.
Yeah, I think for you as a child it may have not been, but for those other adults, they should have known something was really wrong with that.
Really?
Yeah.
No, because, you know, See, it's only an issue now because homosexuality has really come to the fore. But then, like I said, I never even knew anything about homosexuality until I was an adult, and I mean probably maybe in my 30s. I can't even remember when I really learned about homosexuality. It just wasn't a thing. So that doesn't mean that there weren't, you know, now it doesn't mean that there weren't people engaging in behaviors, but the only thing I would ever hear about is if people were adulterous or fornicating, and that was really a no-no. That was like, wow, you know.
But guess what? It's not so much a homosexual thing. It's just inappropriate for people to kiss the same sex in the mouth. I mean, you know, that's not a cultural norm. That's not something that people see every day. Especially I can see brothers maybe kissing on the cheek, you know, maybe it's something, but in the mouth, I mean, that's just not a cultural norm. That's not so much homosexual or not. It's just something that we were not, as a culture, I wasn't brought up to do. You know what I'm saying? Period. Not in the mouth. And male or female, if I don't know you and we're not engaged in a relationship, I don't even want you that close to me to the point where
know people. See, that's the difference. I knew this was a pretty, it was a closed group in a way because most people were born into it or else you married in. And also, it's what's considered normal for you, so it's normative. So in our group, it wasn't unusual. I don't even know how to explain it. It was just normal. And it was a dry kiss, so it wasn't like people were hiding in a corner or anything. I mean, you could be sitting right up at the, you know, up at the altar if the church hadn't begun, or at the door. It just didn't matter. You were just greeting each other.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm like her on a scale of 1 to 10, and 10 being the weirdest. That's some pretty weird stuff. I mean, really, when you think about it, it's weird. I mean, I'm just saying.
I didn't like it simply because I didn't like people touching me all the time, but a lot of times I didn't even feel like I could say no. The only way I could get around it is sometimes if I saw somebody heading my direction, I might kind of duck off somewhere. But it wasn't because it was sexual. I'm thinking, I don't want to be kissed by this person.
We learned something new today, I guess, because I have never heard of that in my whole life. But, you know, like I said, as a culture, as a people, we have to begin to be responsible for ourselves. We have to protect our children. We have to protect ourselves. And we have to follow both Yah's law and the law of the land, as long as the law of the land doesn't contradict Yah's law. We have to be able to do that, because that's the only norm that we're going to have as a nation, is when we start doing that. You know, when we start taking the law into our own hands, or not reporting people for the things that they're doing, you know, then we will bear that person's iniquity. And I'm not getting in trouble for nobody else's stuff. I'm not. I done enough that warrant me to go to hell. I'm going to tell you the truth. I've done enough stuff that will warrant me to go to hell, and I'm repenting every day for the things
true.
That I've done.
Me too.
Get me together. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going for you. So you know what I'm saying? We're not going to hide you over here. This is not the place to come to hide out, you know, and it would behoove you to tell on yourself or keep it to yourself, you know, because my mom said, if a person don't know nothing, they can't say nothing, you know, so as long as we haven't seen it or know about it, we can't say anything about it. But, you know, don't think that this is a place for you to come to hide, you know, for all of the things that you're doing criminal and the predators, because it's not. It's not. And we're just not going to have that. Our children are going to be safe. Our women are going to be safe. Our men are going to be safe. And we're going to live. We've been through enough. We have been through enough of that in this society. We are not going through it with our own people. So, just wanted to say that. And I think we've run over time. Brother, Roslyn, were you going to say something about your farm when you first pushed one? I think he might have his phone on mute. But we have the men's class on Tuesday night. Brother Yerushalayim, you want to tell them about the men's call?
Yes, ma'am. The men's call, that's every Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the number for that call is 720-820-1215. That's 720-820-1215. No access code needed.
All right. And we also have a women's call on every Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the number is 712-770-4066. 712-770-4066. And the access code is 154-102-POUND. 154-102-POUND. Please join us. We also have Wednesday night Old Testament reading at 7 o'clock. And the number will remain the same. For our number for our Sabbath day class is 319-527-9197. 319-527-9197. And the access code is 256-039-POUND. Don't forget to go on our website. We have all of this on our website. It's www.NOY for Nation of Yehuda, and then the word Monarch, MONARCH.US. We'll have all that on there, but our Wednesday night class is at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I want to say you guys have a wonderful rest of your week. I have enjoyed being with you guys this week and being off this week. We're going back to the grind tomorrow, but we will be here on Tuesday and for the rest of the week. Shalom, shalom, everybody. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.